Are we on?
Okay.
I'm Eddie.
I'm Noah.
And this is the Cosa Nostra. This week we are doing 2002's Catch Me If You Can, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Why do you sound so depressed?
I thought you were gonna
Why do you sound so sad when like?
I thought you were gonna finish my sentence. I said like, oh. Directed by, and I was expecting you to then.
No, because like you were on a roll, so
but
I was
you
like,
just
okay.
Like completely had me. Okay. Anyway, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, Christopher Walken, Martin Sheen, my favorite Uncle Ben, and Jennifer Garner, who I kind of forgot was in this movie, but
oh my gosh, she's
my
in
favorite
this
Elektra
shit.
Actor for those who know.
Yeah, so
I love the playground sequence.
When was the first time you saw this film?
I was like 10. It's kind of one of those movies that you're like guaranteed to watch at some point when you're
oh,
a kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's so,
not when you're a kid, but like...
You're guaranteed to watch.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like, I really love it.
For me, it was like, this is one of those movies that like... It's so funny. It's funny because it's like, I had always wanted to watch it and I couldn't find it anywhere. And, you know, so basically what I did, I looked around and I found like, you know, the like home video version of it. Okay. I got that, you know, knowing my luck, next week Netflix puts it on there. This has happened to me so many times. It's not even funny anymore because as soon as I get it, Netflix puts it on there. That's why I don't even like play with like streaming services at all. They really just rile me up. Mm-hmm. I think Catch Me If You Can is still on there as of this date.
It's one of those Netflix staples where they just have like, it's like Tubi has like the Tubi staples. And it's like Citizen Kane, Drive, and Donnie Darko, and they're just always there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. This has been here for like, it's been there for like a year now.
Yeah, it's properly on Netflix. I mean, what a movie. Frank Abagnale. I love the opening. You know when it has these like random dudes, and you're like, is DiCaprio playing the guy, or are we doing like?
No, before we talk about the opening, let's talk about like the credits.
The animation.
Yes, I love
that opening. Has so much life. It has more life than some movies have in like their entire just like
more life than 1940.
Yeah, it actually does have more life and more like fun than 1941 has it in its entire body. Like, oh my! Can I just say we're never gonna do a podcast in 1941 because
it's gonna join the unreleased.
Because I no because it's not even that. It's just like I don't want to put you through watching that because it is 2.5 hours of just nothing.
I think I've seen worse.
It's not like this is like the
Smurfs.
Biggest. Yeah, no, I'm not saying this is like the biggest piece of.
Smurfs too.
I'm not saying it's the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen, but it's like it's just like I'm just. It's just like what it's I can't even get into it right now. Okay, so Leonardo DiCaprio's in this. Where is this in like the timeline of his career?
DiCaprio?
Yeah.
He's 28 when he makes this.
Yeah, what a convincing 16-year-old.
I mean, I believed that he was 16. What I find crazy is that Tom Hanks looks a lot older than him in this movie and he's like not really that much older.
How much older is he?
He's 49 when he makes this movie.
I mean, that's still 21 years. That's a lot. That's a lot of years.
That's a lot of years.
Yeah. So I'm just seeing.
Oh,
so,
dude, why is the when I search up DiCaprio timeline for his movies, the first thing that comes up is girlfriend timeline.
Oh my god. Okay.
So bad. Yeah. So it's after he gets massive, and at the beginning of his Scorsese work.
Yeah,
so just before he starts
Gangs
doing,
of New York,
before he
the
does
same
Gangs,
year.
Gangs of New York is overrated.
I hate to say it.
Like, you know, obviously, it's not the Scorsese movie I should have watched second. Like, you know, Raging Bull, and I was like, oh my god, it's Scorsese, and it has DiCaprio, and it has Bill the Butcher. Like, it can't be that bad. Who plays Bill the Butcher?
Daniel
Day-Lewis. It can't be that bad. He's the Oscars guy, right? It's like so mid.
Is it not? Because I always thought it was like...
It's so mid. It's like a kind of mid... The opening is amazing. The opening is like fantastic. I was like, peak cinema. And then it immediately falls off. I was like, dude... And Cameron Diaz is just like... Doesn't really do much in the movie.
Yeah, that's the same year.
And the whole thing is low-key just like, look at me. I know I'm that Italian-American director, but I'm making a movie about Irish-Americans now. Like, it's just kind of like...
No, like, Scorsese's, like, I know we talk about Spielberg film, but, like, Scorsese, I've always...
He's his, like, great rival, is it? He's up there with, like, not rival's the wrong word, but he's like one of those great, like,
I think four he's, directors. In my opinion, like, I don't know if he's better than...
That's really hard to say, dude. That's like...
But he's got a lot of range.
It's like the Michael Jordan LBJ debate of like...
No. He's got like film.
Even more.
Scorsese's got like a lot of range.
Scorsese's
got more range than a lot of people like give him credit. Everybody's like, oh, just his gangster films. But no, like his non like gangster films are also
It's just that his gangster films are like almost perfect. They're like
They're just his most famous. I think
he does some great other movies.
Definitely. I can't get
like into even all movies of them that now. Aren't really gangster movies, like Raging Bull, where there's like only the mafia's kind of in it, and that's like amazing.
Yeah, no, like some of them that are just completely devoid of just anything Italian American in them.
Atul is great too. Well, yeah, I mean, like The Irishman.
I haven't seen it because I was gonna watch, and then like I looked on the time, 3.5. What? Like, thank you, but no, thank you.
I mean, he's got some great movies, and then some kind of like not as great movies. It's kind of the same with Spielberg. Like,
yeah,
Spielberg is kind of hit or miss. He's a bit like
I think
he's like a blockbuster aisle of like DVDs. Like it's kind of like, yeah, sometimes he's great, and then sometimes they just kind of fizzle out. Yes, towards but the end.
For me, it's like the track record of just like
peak
is so good that it kind of like you don't even think about that.
Yeah,
because if you look at the timeline of his movies, it's like, how is he doing this before he reaches like what, like 40?
Yeah, but like, then he kind of hits like a midlife.
Yeah, this like the 2000s is like. It's a fun, like the 90s, you've got like, oh, he does like
Schindler's List. No, go back, bro. He did.
He does.
The 80s, he's literally like.
He's literally like, he is, I don't even know how to explain it. There was nothing else like him.
Jesus, basically.
Yeah, there was basically nothing else.
He comes down and he like walks exactly. on film.
Any movie he touches, just like, no, it was serious. Like, as soon as you put the name Steven Spielberg, presents on it, it will make money. It was like, that was a money like generating machine. In the 90s, you had like.
He got a bit more arty.
Yeah, he got Schindler's List. And then you have Jurassic Park. And then you've got Saving Private Ryan. Then you have The Lost World. But like that doesn't actually...
The Lost World is not that bad.
Then even something like Amistad. Like, you know, it's like...
Okay, 2000s, Spielberg directs AI, which he takes over from Kubrick, right?
Yeah.
Then Minority Report, which was supposed to be a sequel to something. AI? No, something was supposed to be a sequel to It. Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Then The Terminal. Then War of the Worlds.
Which I have not seen.
Munich.
Munich is apparently like pretty underrated.
The legendary Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
It's just like...
He went on a bit of a Tom Cruise thing.
Yeah, and then he kind of just stopped.
Yeah, and then just Tom Cruise never turned up ever again.
But that's the same thing with DiCaprio here. Like, after watching this movie, you kind of go like, oh, why didn't DiCaprio work with Spielberg more? Like, it's probably because he's too busy working with Scorsese, like, to be in every single one of his films. Yeah. But, like, I think, like, you watch this and it's like, wow, this is, like, it's a really good... Like, this movie is... I don't know how much of it is actually real, okay?
I remember hearing it was, like, not that accurate. Mm. But it's, like, a lot of stuff do that these days, and it often benefits. When you do a biopic, like... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good things about it, but you often get bogged down by trying to make their life like exactly the same, and then it gets kind of boring.
I believe when I hear people go like, "Ugh, this biopic didn't actually have everything in like the life," like we talked about Man on the Moon, yeah. And I did say like part of my issue was the fact I might sound hypocritical here, like part of the issue I said with Man on the Moon is that like not everything part of his life was in there, but the thing with that is that like there was such an interesting life. That they kind of just turn into a boring biopic. I think a lot of biopics nowadays, they kind of get like bogged down by the fact that, oh, we have to tell this person's in like, sometimes it's the entire life.
But that's why I think what's really good is, you see a lot in modern, and this one kind of does too, is like, they'll take the name of someone or like the base idea of it. Like Marty Supreme did this. They took like the base idea of the guy and then didn't do his life, but they didn't advertise it as his life. Like Catch Me If You Can. Yes, it's about Frank.
Yeah, it's like a movie first and then like a biopic second. That's how I think about...
It's not his whole life.
Yeah, that's how I think about like Raging Bull. I don't look at Raging Bull and I go like, oh, that's a biopic.
Yeah,
I think of it, that's a film. That's a film first.
It's like a lot of biopics try and do their whole life.
And
the problem with that is that you like, there's a lot of boring stuff and then you miss a lot of good stuff. As here, they just take like a pic. It's more like taking a real person and putting them in a like movie.
Like, I think when you do a biopic, I think the best thing that you should do is just like kind of just focus on the most interesting part of their life.
Yeah.
Honestly, instead of just having to do their entire life, because then like people come in and out of the picture and stuff like that. Yeah.
So to answer your question about why he didn't work with Spielberg again, it's because he did Gangs of New York before.
Yeah.
He then did the same year Catch Me If You Can. And then after that, he did The Aviator.
Okay,
The Aviator, Departed.
Departed.
Then after that, he did Blood Diamond, which wasn't then with
Wolf of Wall Street, I want to say.
No, The 11th Hour, Body of Light.
No, for like Scorsese, so like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, he did Shutter Island first. Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting.
Then he met and did Inception, which was like one of his best movies. And then he did The Great Gatsby, yeah, which wasn't with either. He did Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Then The Revenant.
I think we'd know a lot of people say this, but like I think a lot. DiCaprio had one of the best turns from like.
He did a lot. I'm going from
being like a teen idol.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there in the 90s, as you could.
But
probably
I mean,
tell.
When you look at it, he did like a kids movie, and then he did Critters 3.
What the hell is
which
that?
Which is a straight-to-video movie. And I don't think it's a kid's movie by looking at it. I made a mistake. But he did This Boy's Life with... directed by... it was with De Niro. But it was directed by some random dude. But he did Watch Eating Gilbert Grape. And that was when people were like, damn, this guy's got chops. He can kind of do what he wants. And then he did The Basketball Diaries, which is equally like... This guy can act. Mm. And then he went on a bit of a thing where he did like random, like The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, okay, but
that's amazing. Yeah.
Is it?
Really good.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. Romeo and Juliet was his like kind of.
Yeah, and then like you have like Titanic. So like he's kind of gone like.
Marvin's Room as well.
And yeah, so you have the whole thing where like, oh my God, this like what. He could have ended up being like what's it like the Teen Choice Award like winner or something like that, because like a lot of people you can make a pretty good career out of doing that, but like I think, you know, respectfully,
long hair DiCaprio was like a real thing.
Yeah, I don't know like how big like DiCaprio was.
He did The Beach. Oh, I forgot he did that.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Really?
Oh no.
What?
Not good.
He's
just like, he's like this backpacking dude and he goes on this island. And it turns out there's like a cult on the island.
That's kind of like your vibe, but.
Yeah, but it's just bad. Like, it would be my vibe if it wasn't atrocious.
Well, no, before they had like Man in the Iron Mask where he plays like. Louis.
I think that was filmed before Titanic and then released after.
Yeah. Plays Louis 14th.
Yeah. But like
he just doesn't look like him at all as well. He plays two random people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from like basically 2002, he just locks in.
Yeah, yeah. With just like more serious films. So like
Don's Plum. Is this bad?
Yeah.
Oh, blocked from release. Oh, yeah. This looks very troubled. Okay.
So basically, the main man.
Oh, I watched a video about that. And he was like, he signed on for a short film and then they made it a feature film. He was like, no, I don't want to. Oof.
So originally, Tony Soprano was supposed to be like, play Tom Hanks' character.
Tony Soprano.
Yeah, James Gandolfini.
And we're supposed to play Tom Hanks' character.
Which.
That would have been so different. That would have been
really interesting. Yeah. It's supposed to be directed by Milos Forman after Man on the Moon.
Interesting crossover.
Yeah, that would have. I don't know what like a movie like that looks
that
like.
That would have been really wacky.
No, I don't. I think like Milos Forman had like a pretty good track record. Pretty good. He had a really good track record. Yeah. Yeah, like Amadeus and like whatnot. So,
Ooh, Amadeus. I need to watch that. Apparently like, it's like the
did
movie.
Did he do The People versus Larry Flint? I wanna.
He did. One Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Oh my God. Amadeus, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The People and Larry Flint. He did.
So that is a really.
I mean, yeah, then he did Man on the Moon. He did a movie called Hair. Something called The Fireman's Ball in 1967.
What? Oh, that's probably like a...
And Ragtime. He did a lot of random movies, but his main four were like...
Yeah,
insane.
Yeah. So
I keep forgetting how great random directors can be. Like, yeah. You just never hear of them, and then they make four amazing movies and disappear.
No. Yeah, he just kind of like, I don't know.
He gave up.
Amy Adams is in this movie, like Enchanted.
Yeah.
So it's kind of random when I see it this way. I'm like, oh yeah, I always like completely forget.
Yeah, okay. I forget that like actors actually do small jobs and then just randomly break out on like a Disney movie.
And I swear to God, I can't find the line right now, but she has a line that cracks me up in this movie. It's like after Frank tells her he's like on the run or something. I have
who
to find it.
Who does she play?
Oh, she plays like the nut.
Who's the nuts? Who marries Martin Sheen's
daughter. Oh yeah. Oh, it's been a while. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, it's so random. The cast of this movie is, like, very bizarre. It's a bit like when you look at, like...
Christopher Walken as well.
Yeah, Christopher... Oh, my God. I don't know. Okay. I swear to God, anytime they put him in a movie, I'm not sure if it's, like, his performance or they are purposely trying to play with him, but it never fails to be funny. I remember the story of... these mice. One mouse fell into a cup of cream and the other one escaped.
Oh my gosh.
Am that one mouse. It's like, I don't know.
She embraces one.
And I have no clue if that's just like, that's on like him for that kind of performance. I'm sorry. And one mouse escaped.
That was really random, by the way. Like,
it was so random. But like, this.
I don't know why they started it as like a moody movie about like parental like.
Well, because
hate.
Like
and he just like, and then it goes into this like glitz and glamour like, like mouse up. So
well,
random.
Because like Spielberg has like daddy issues, so.
Yeah, and he has to remind us every single movie
such crazy,
that his childhood sucks.
He's got crazy daddy issues. Oh my God.
Every movie he makes, he has to remind us that his family
is
less.
So the line is it's like when Frank is like telling Leah, I never went to medical school, I'm not a lawyer or Harvard graduate. I ran away from home like a year ago. And she's like, Frank, you're not a Lutheran. I'm sorry, like what? Yeah, no, this movie, like, it's technically not a comedy.
It is funny though. But I think that's also almost everything Spielberg makes is very funny.
Schindler's List is
almost. That's why I said almost.
Like, that is one of the best comedies on.
There was an asterisk. It said asterisk excluding Schindler's List. Because you can't
call Saving Private, those 20 minutes are crazy. Oh my God. That's a hilarious.
Yeah, but quite a large volume of what he makes is
funny. I'm going to be honest, not really. Like, I'm just thinking. Lincoln is a funny one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comedy.
When that Lincoln guy dies, that's the best bit.
He never dies in that movie.
What?
No, he doesn't. Despite it being a movie
what
about.
What am I watching it for?
Despite a movie being about. The last 2 weeks of
You're
Lincoln's
telling
life.
Me Office's explanation of Lincoln's life is more accurate than Spielberg.
Yeah, because it's like 2 weeks. It's like
Have
a few months
that?
Before. I can't remember the time bracket, but it's like a few months before.
They take it, and everyone just assumes that the tall guy's Lincoln, so he has to do. Have you seen The Office?
No, I haven't.
There's this episode where the guy's like, he's like 6 foot and has like short hair, and everyone assumes he's a Lincoln impersonator. So everyone asks him to do like a Lincoln performance, and so he explains it like 4 times in the episode.
Really?
It's so funny.
Yeah, Lincoln, I have no like feelings about Lincoln like one way or the other. Honestly, it's...
The man or the film?
Oh, honestly, both. Yeah, like, I was thinking about the film, but like now I'm thinking... Like, not to offend any Americans, but I just don't really
I can't
really
say anything about, like, I guess he was a good guy. Like, I don't know. Was he? I mean, that's pretty good, but what about, like, everything else?
Yeah, okay.
He probably did some bad stuff, too.
Let's talk about the movie a little bit.
Yeah, so,
we talked more about Lincoln the movie than the actual movie.
So we talked about...
The music is great.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I actually never clocked this movie was set.
I thought Spielberg had a LinkedIn account. I was, what are we doing?
Yeah, this movie is set in the like 60s, and I actually never clocked that. I don't really know why.
Yeah, it's quite like timeless. Like it could kind of its vibe fits in almost all everywhere.
Mm.
I mean, obviously there's like a tiny bit where it's like obviously it's in the 60s because they use like this kind of telephone,
yeah.
Or he uses a typewriter.
But you know, like, I really like the connection between Frank Abagnale and Carl, because it's like it's really just like these two people. They're really like the reason like they're kind of going after each other is just because like they're just two very very just like lonely people.
Okay? Yeah, it's quite cool.
They've got like they really just don't really have anybody else. And one of my favorite scenes is like that scene like where he goes back to the house like at the end and is like the mom like she's just like moved on. She's got a daughter and everything. And it's just like, not only it kind of reminds you of just kind of like how long the passage of time has been since then, but it's like, it kind of shows how Frank has been the only one like who just hasn't moved on from this.
You know? A lot of time just kind of passes in this film. Like it's really fast, but then you realize it's like not actually
fast. It's not like a non-linear film.
There's not really much like markers for how much time has passed, which kind of works in its favor. Mm. Like when you look at the ending and you're like, oh, this must have been like a really long time after, and it's like not really that long after. Like, inversely, you think it's like been like 3 days or something, and actually he's been doing that for like 3 months or something.
Yeah, for me, like the comedy of this film, like really comes from like the crazy ways that Frank kind of like escapes. Mm-hmm. Like the one where he's like, oh, he literally like goes like
he gives him his wallet with only a McDonald's gift card in
it. Exactly. And he goes like he's right there. Like you could take him right there.
And he goes, oh, I left my like I left the typewriter in the boot. Can you like hold my wallet so I can come back? And then he just like cuts to the window and it's just Frank running across the street. Exactly.
And then like you've got the one where he literally just like goes like I can't remember how. So he's like out the toilet or something of like the plane.
He puts him in the jail and he fakes vomiting. He, like, vomits everywhere, and then they let go of him, they're like, ugh, and he just runs away. It's, like, so
That's actually really smart. But what is your favourite part of this, of all, like, the little, like, escapades? My favourite one is, like, the one with, like, the nurse. I can't get over that. It's just, for me, it's really funny.
I love the plane sequence. It's pretty cool. When they like take him on the plane and he's like, guys, I can't fly. And he just sits with the like waitresses on board.
Yeah, the moment I realized that like, oh, this movie is set like so long ago is when I realized that, oh, they're flying on Pan Am, Dad. Like, oh, damn. Okay, fine.
Does that not exist anymore?
It hasn't existed for like 30 odd years.
Oh, jeez.
No, yeah.
With a little toy plane. When you realize like how unsafe the government was with money, it's like incredible.
Oh, no, it's not even that. I also thought you were going to say how unsafe it was like just let any like random Joe Schmo just get on the plane. Like, like that pre-9/11 like security was going crazy back then. You'd be letting...
Like has six, seven kids, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Max, Theo, and Sawyer. One of them's called Sawyer.
Yes,
Sawyer. Like Adventures of...
I don't know. Yeah.
And then there's Jessica, Sasha, Mick. Some of these names are crazy, bro. Yeah. Theo Spielberg is his kid. But, okay. I mean, it's good. Good on him, man.
Yeah, no, good on him. Okay, but
this movie, there's so much, like, yeah. Like, the flight. Like, the fact that this guy just gets into everything and no one bats an eye. Like, in the school, he just pretends he's a French teacher.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
And no one, like, notices.
One of the scenes in this movie...
28-year-old leg 16 goes
something
so
that's really interesting and really, like, enjoyable about, like, watching The Fabelmans is that, like, you watch The Fabelmans first and then you kind of go back and you kind of see, like, the little things in his movies, in all of his films that, like, oh, kind of informed it. You see it in, like, Close Encounters. You see it in E.T. And then in this one where you have the scene where, like, you know... Frank comes back and his mum's with like this random guy in the house. It felt very Fablemans-esque, you know?
But I mean, Fablemans is the ultimate guys. My childhood sucked.
Yeah, like, I know. But like
his poor dad, bro. I don't know if his dad is still alive. And if not, like rest in peace.
No, he died, but... He was like 101.
He was just, like dragging his mum through the dirt.
Do you know like the actual story? Like, the actual story is...
She actually bought a monkey?
Yeah, no, she did. But, like, the actual story is that, like, oh, the mum was like, yeah, she was being like unfaithful.
Yeah, and her dad, the dad took the blame.
The dad took the blame.
Like, what a G.
And Spielberg did not realize that until like the late 80s. So all of those
That's
movies.
That's why he made War Horse.
Yeah. What?
He made War Horse because his dad served in the war. And he like took that.
Really?
No, I think it was Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, Saving Private Ryan.
And it was like as a like apology to his dad for basically like.
Yeah, because
hating
you
on him
see,
in all his movies.
Because you see all pre, like, all bad. Of his pre, like, let's say. Yeah, yeah.
All
are
chaos.
Like all anti screw dads. They don't do they don't do anything for you. like ending of Close Encounters, a dad literally just flies away on like an alien ship. In E.T. Where is he? Like Mexico? Like, it's like dads suck.
And stuff. And then.
And it's just like post like 1989. He's just like, when he realizes that all this, like, oh, my dad was trying to protect me.
Only for then in the film once to diss his mom beyond comprehension. Like.
No, no, I think it's very. I think it's very level handed and I think it's very.
She's. Imagine like. The fact he like cast Seth Rogen to be the guy
yeah.
that his dad gets.
No, no,
like,
I think it's very like fair handed how he does it. Like.
Yeah, but it is hating.
It's a little weird because, like, I feel like he had this. That was a movie where, like, he had to wait for his parents to die before he could make it.
Yeah, because can you imagine going to the premiere and it's just like.
Yeah, because no, because it's not even funny. Because, like, you read about Spielberg's life, then you watch Fablements, it's a 1-on-1 comparison. Just
pretty
change
much,
the names,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, and you see a lot of that in this movie. That again, daddy issues run crazy in Spielberg films.
It's he was on like a run.
No, no, like for I think it stopped now. I think Fablements was kind of like this cleansing period of like.
I swear in Raiders that like Indiana Jones actually like disses his dad randomly in the script.
No, no, like yeah, like
he just says like my dad wasn't there or something, and then the story just goes on.
No, but it's always about like absentee like fathers. And I think, like, Fablements is that moment of just, like, okay, I get it. I understand. This is a movie that, like, I needed to have made.
Like, he's his own, his dad to seven kids now, like, he understands.
You know, he gets, and he's always said, like, for the
he
ending.
He probably
of,
super understands.
He's always said that for the ending of Close Encounters that he would never send his father to leave his family and go join a bunch of aliens in space. Which, you know, that's a reasonable thing ever since he's become a father and kind of, like, understood everything. Have you ever seen the Spielberg, like, documentary that HBO did? It was done before, like, his parents are like both in that and they're like, they're just talking about like, war, like the divorce and stuff like that. It is, and Spielberg's there, like, it is truly fascinating because it's just like, you have these people who are like, they're clearly very amicable with one another, you know, like. You
yeah,
know,
I feel like it.
You get they the talk about the monkey.
The monkey.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk about it there. That's probably why Spielberg put a Nazi monkey in. Like,
you know. It's like, screw you, monkey.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah.
I feel so bad that imagine like coming home from school and your mom's bought
just,
a monkey and named it after your uncle.
Yeah, and it's just like it's a very like it's a very revealing documentary. You really should see that. It's genuinely fascinating. They kind of stop talking after he makes Schindler's List because like they just don't care about anything after that because it's pre like West Side Story, pre Fableman. So his track record hadn't been the best at that point. Yeah, I think like pre Saving Private Ryan. So this movie make okay. Do you want to play the box office game?
Let's play the box.
Okay, first this
game.
Movie made. First this movie got nominated for best.
Let's play the box office game.
Can it just be like a bit of a cappella?
Yeah. It just directly corrupts out that little jingle and plays it over and over.
Yeah. This movie got nominated for best supporting actor.
Did they win it?
I'm gonna guess no.
Sadly.
This movie, I thought like Gangs of New York came out. After this movie, but this movie came out on Christmas Day.
Gangs of New York came out the day before.
5 days before.
Christmas Day, Mardi Supreme Christmas Day. That's like the weirdest.
Yeah, because when you think about Christmas, you think of Mardi.
Yes, bro. I've been hit by all the marketing. It's actually killed me, bro. All the marketing, all I can think about when someone says ping pong, instantly like, I get like a flashback.
I think about
Timothy Chalamet in like a giant suit.
Okay.
Or just orange. I just get like flashbanged by orange in the back of my brain.
Okay.
Corroded orange.
Okay. The
Schwepp. I just hear the Schwepp sound effect. Have you seen the sound? The like. Have you seen the marketing for it?
No.
video where he's like, when you think of Barbie, what do you think? I think pink. Like, this guy, give him the Oscar, man. Like, come on.
No, he doesn't deserve it. It's just the ego. The ego just, like, gets somewhere else.
Well, what would you put instead as someone who hasn't seen any movies this year?
I know, but, like, I don't care. I literally do not care. I don't care. Like, that kind of ego just, like, really ticks me off.
But the performance is, like, incredible.
Yeah. Okay,
he hasn't seen any movies
Okay, let's do it. This is the first time we're playing the box office game that I can remember that we are, like, either in the 21st century, we're not in the 90s, and we're in the 2000s.
Yes.
So, first one is, I just learned, like, Spielberg made this the same year as...
Oh, that should be a clue.
Yeah, let me just tell you, Catch Me If You Can missed out on the top 10 by $6
million? That's still
so like it's like the 11th highest grossing movie
that's,
of this
that's
year.
Not like a small amount. That's a lot.
Yeah. With Tom Cruise.
With Minority Report.
Minority Report. Yes. The next one is what the hell is this?
2002.
It's a romantic comedy. It's just one of those that I just know you wouldn't watch. You would avoid it. You would just
watch it. Watch me have watched it.
It is produced. All I can give you is that it's produced by Tom Hanks for some reason, but he's not in it. Starring like Andrea Martin. I'm saying that.
Who's Andrea Martin?
You don't know? Oh, she's like.
Can you give me a more famous person, please?
Okay. I can't. I literally can't.
Okay. Who is it? What's it called?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, I know that movie. No,
because I'm looking at the cast. I am not getting anything here.
I feel like Brendan Gleeson's in it or something.
No. Like, literally not. Like, read the... Okay, the next one is an animated movie that has way too many sequels that, like, how are they still... Oh, they're making another one because...
Despicable Me.
No.
Oh,
no.
Shoot.
Toy
Story?
No. Starring Ray Romano, John Leguizamo, Dennis Leary. It's a famous one. Despite you think it would have a bigger cultural impact with the amount of sequels it has.
Oh, I say.
Yes, like, five sequels, what?
And they just ran out of sequels. They started focusing on like the squirrel after the third one. They just gave up.
I like Scrat.
Scrat.
Okay.
Have you seen Baby Scrat? They've got like a...
precious. the next one is like, It's a sci-fi movie, M. Night Shyamalan, but it's like, as far as I can tell, it's one of the better M. Night, no.
Split.
No. It's one of the better ones. No.
My M. Night Shyamalan knowledge has run out. There's two movies.
Signs.
Signs?
Signs. It's a pretty famous one, you know.
I thought you were giving me like one word of the title.
Oh no, damn, wow. No. Okay.
I didn't realize that was the whole title.
The next one is a Bond film.
Oh, 2002?
We're never very good with these.
Casino Royale.
What? No, that's 2006. That's way too old. What?
Wait, which Bond is it?
Okay, Pierce Brosnan.
Still Pierce Brosnan?
Last one.
Oh, no. I bet you it's bad.
Yeah, they weren't too happy with this one.
Goldeneye?
No.
Shoot.
I don't know. Like, I think you could get it.
Who?
Halle Berry.
Oh.
You know, Toby.
I forgot she was even in it. Oh, which Diamonds Are Forever?
Die Another Day.
Die Another Day. Okay, well, that one's so niche.
No, not niche. Okay, the next one is...
I've seen them all. They all just kind of blend into like a mess.
I understand. Okay. So the next
apart
one...
Daniel Craig movies.
They're
still clear, dude.
The next one and the Sean Connery ones.
Yes.
And actually, Timothy Dalton ones as well. I will stick up for that guy, honestly. The next one is a sequel to one of the biggest movies of the 90s.
Speed 2.
No, starring Tommy Lee Jones.
Speed 2.
No, it's kind of like I want to say that like it's the one where
that's an actual movie.
Yeah.
But the actual speed guy isn't in it, but Sandra Bullock is. It's like, just speed on a boat.
It's the one. There's always a franchise.
Tommy Lee Jones.
There's always a
franchise. A few good men.
No.
Is it like a couple men?
Yeah. No. It's like it's a proper like big blockbuster. If I give away the next actor, you're just gonna get it like that. No, it's like everybody like it's just like the first one. Then like people come to the second one. It's like, you know, like.
Can you just give me the next actor?
Had a rap song.
Men in Black 2.
Yeah, yeah.
With the eye cut in half, because that's how we make cool logos in the 2000s. The next,
oh, but the MIB3 one is a little, like, cubed. Oh, that's quite...
That's so smart.
But it's not cubed, it's like... What is it?
It's like a footnote.
Yeah.
It's like MIB3 and it's like the third footnote.
Yeah, so the next one is another sequel to a very, very... To a very divisive...
Oh, dear.
Prequel.
Prequel?
Yes.
Star Wars... Oh my god, oh my god. Wait, oh, it's Hayden Christensen.
No, but it's obviously...
Clone Wars.
Yeah, well, no, yes, yes. Attack of the Clones, yeah. Attack of the Clones. That's not what...
Come on, no. It's the Clone Wars.
Okay, yeah. The next one you have to get, I
Clone
think...
Saga, that's Spider-Man. Wrong
the next one you have to get...
Oh dear, 2002. Give me a clue.
It's a superhero film.
Spider-Man...
Stop. Yeah, no, yeah. Wow, that was honestly the easiest one I've ever done. The next one is a sequel to...
It's a superhero film.
The next one... Like, see, can I just say something? Can we see how much it has changed since the 90s when most of it is just original movies? Yeah. I have said sequel so many times.
Okay, another sequel.
Okay, the next one is a sequel to one of the biggest, like, franchises of all time.
Pirates of the Caribbean 2.
No. It's well, a British.
Johnny English 2?
No, it's British, you know it. Like, it's...
Give me an actor.
Directed by Chris Columbus. If I give you an
Harry
actor...
Harry Potter 2!
What's it called?
Chamber of Secrets, yes. Come on. Don't play with me.
Okay, the next one is... What do you believe in? It's another sequel.
it's 2002. There's two twos.
Yeah,
it,
like, I know. Okay, the next...
Here's the sequel.
Okay, the final one is...
Is this the biggest, highest grossing film?
Yes.
Big numbers.
Okay, it's a sequel to the movie that won Best Picture. It's a film that won Best Picture the year before.
So they made a sequel in a year?
Well, Harry Potter did it.
Okay, give me a cast member.
Elijah Wood.
Oh, Lord of the Rings 2.
What?
The Two Towers.
What a title. Yeah,
Tale of the Two Towers.
Yeah, so good thing they didn't come out in 2001.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that was in bad taste. That was a really bad taste. No, generally, did they even think through that title? They did not think through that one. Like, come on, that's insensitive.
That's not what sequels are the biggest event of last year means, no.
No. I said the biggest movie. You're twisting my words right now. Yeah. Okay, one. Okay, the first one actually came out after 9/11. Can I just say that?
Okay, you're making it worse. What are you giving this out of 5?
4. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Four. It's like Pong.
Yeah, so...
If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Why are you listening to it?
Spoiler alert. I mean, we didn't really spoil much. We kind of went on a rant about Spielberg, but...
It was a tame rant. Then
tame around the unreleased episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Noah's blacklist.
Nah, I wasn't even that much.